Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The holidays with the George Washington Foundation, that is our focus. Lots going on this month, or during this season, this month and next month. Megan Buttinger's the curator. She's here along with Dave Maraca. He's archaeology, and Alma Withers is here with education. Alma, you are like a school teacher today. You have all your papers spread out on your desk.
She's in my space.
She's
in my space.
You know, once you teach school, you just can't get it out of you.
No, yeah, I just feel like all of a sudden
I used to be able to just throw a look across a room.
Yeah, and I can bet. I bet you could.
And I do it here, and they'd say, "Oh, go away."
Not here. I just feel like you're gonna throw a surprise test at me, or you're gonna report me to the principal.
Or call your parents.
Yes,
that's never happened to you before, has it?
Well, maybe it has. This is really a busy. I mean, I know this is a time, Alma, for you that you have there are just lots going on with the George Washington Foundation. At both Kenmore and Ferry Farm.
Oh, we do, and it's an exciting time for us. It's another opportunity to use these two great museums to be able to tell stories, and so that's we're storytellers, and that's what we do, is to take all of our resources that we have and to put it in the programming so that we can share it with the public.
Well, and Megan, in your case too, it really is. Most people just you have one place. A curator has one place, and maybe just a few rooms.
Yeah.
You've got two places and a lot of rooms.
Yeah, two places and a lot of rooms. That's very true, and that becomes very evident this time of year when we're making preparations for holiday decorations and for collaborating with education on the programs that are going to be happening, because we do a wide array this time of year. And then we're also overlapping with the end of school tour season as well. We still have school tours coming out on the sites. So, between the two sites and all those rooms, it's quite a project to get everything mobilized for this kind of season.
And I guess to decorate for the in you know to decorate and try to get it as close as it was
right.
It would have been,
mm-hmm.
That's probably a challenge.
It's a challenge. I think we've got down to a science at this point, I think. The last year, of course, was our first year decorating the Washington House at Ferry Farm for Christmas. And so that was a bit of trial and error, and we're going to change a few things this year. But at Kenmore, we have a very well-established December tour, holiday tour. We have a theme. We know the holiday traditions from the 18th century that we want to portray in the house. And then, of course, we have our big 12th night program in January that's sort of the culmination of the season. And we prepare the house for that as well. So at Kenmore, we're a well-oiled machine. At Ferry Farm, we're still testing a few things here and there.
Dave, I was thinking the other day, just because you kind of snuck me in over the as the house was being built, and we went and took me through the house a number of times, and I got to see the various stages. And we sort of just take that house for granted now that it's been here. It really wasn't that many years ago. You think that it's just always been there now, but in just a short period of time, that house has just really become part of the landscape and really part of the area, the museums in this area.
Yeah, and sure has. And what's incredible about one of the things that's incredible about it is that it's getting a patina on it already. It's 18. It's been open for about 18 months.
That's a nice way to say
that's
that.
That's a nice way of saying it. Patina.
Thank you.
Say that in front of the curator.
So the roof was looked brand new when it went on, and now it's it's aged and it's turned colors, and the paint has started to get a little. It was shiny at first, and now it's got a little dullness on it, and so and the floors have been walked on.
Heavily walked on.
And so they're starting to look like it looks like a house that's lived in now instead of a house that was brand new. And you know, you're of two minds. Your heart is a little sad because it's like a new car. You want it to be perfect for a long, but your mind knows that this is a process that it needs to go through, and that it looks better every day. Every scuff, it makes it look a little bit better.
Well, it's used and it's worn, and we're beginning to do fires in the fireplace and lighting candles, and so that then itself will change the atmosphere.
Well, everybody talks about the house, and you even talked whether it's people that have gone through it, but more and more people now. For a while, it would be a lot of people would say, "Yeah, I've seen it," but you're hearing more and more people now who've seen it. But even you talk to other museums, everyone points to Ferry Farm as it's helped this whole area tell, especially the colonial story.
We hope so. We hope so. That was really the goal. Is to not just present a picture of what life was like, but to let people really feel what life was like and help tell that story more fully. And I think so far so good. If the house is any testament, it's getting used in the real manner.
Our guides are getting wonderful compliments. But if you think about the story, I mean, it's just a great story. It's much about the Washington story as it is about the house.
And I can't remember the last time a new house about a new sort of attraction for a founding father sort of come online.
It
may be a long time before another one comes along, and this area is just fortunate enough to be the home of that. And so it just makes us incredibly even more proud of how this has turned out.
Well, and then also you add to it the house and just the archaeology work that you continue to do. And this summer it was just so interesting, just the little kind of pieces of information you kept finding and or putting together. It really is active there.
So and we've now sort of excavated enough of an area in the work yard that we said, well, let's see what we got. Let's take this thing out for a ride and see if we can figure out how this yard works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we've spent the last 6 months sort of working on sort of understanding, sort of digesting exactly what we have out there. And so, for example, we plotted out where gullet stones are, which are little stones.
Oh, this is fun. This is really fun.
All right, now we're going to get into
this. Now we're going to
go in the school. Going in school tours.
Right. Okay.
So we plotted out where the gullet stones sort of, and so chickens have little stones to help them digest.
Yeah.
And so they lose those stones when they get their heads chopped off. And so we found a collection of these in one area near a series of features, near a little building. And so we think the assistant cook lived there, and one of the things he was doing was chopping the heads off of chickens there.
Well,
and
so, isn't the hen yard is connected to the work?
The hen yard is right next door, and so you'd be happily situated in the hen yard. You know, your day is sort of normal, and then all of a sudden your day is not as normal.
Yeah.
And so,
We've already started using the workyard with our school program and doing living history, grinding corn, washing clothes. But as it is more developed, and then in the spring, we're going to have more activities to talk to the children about what life was like, because it was more than just the house, because there are a lot of things that aren't in the house.
So,
that, I mean, that's how the about the Washingtons and who lived there. And
So then the chicken goes from there to the kitchen where it gets cooked. And then it goes from there into the house where it's eaten, and then its bones get thrown out in the midden yard. And
so it's sort of a cycle of life.
All
and
out
Dave
there.
Dave has excavated all of it.
Yes. From the person who brought us glue, then wig curlers.
Now it's gullet stones.
We're not going to talk in our school tours too much about the chicken losing its head.
That's okay. Not going to be a program.
No, that's not going to be a part of it.
This all really is interesting, though, because you do. I mean, you're able to follow. It's interesting of how just the whole cycle of what happens, you've been able to find. It makes you realize what's left behind, what we do leave behind.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And so that's just one little story of the work yard. And there's going to be, you know, when we're all said and done, there's probably 100 stories out there of different things that are going on in that work yard. And so we'll be able to sort of tell that story in a way that no other museum can tell
that
story.
Yeah. And as you find things, you're able to, you keep adding to the whole story.
Adding elements all the time.
Great stuff. George Washington Foundation, our focus this morning. Dave Maraca is here, Alma Withers, and Megan Budinger. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the George Washington Foundation, Ferry Farm and Kenmore focus this morning, and the holidays going on. Alma Withers, Megan Budinger, and Dave Maraca here this morning talking about what's going on. As far as events and things, Alma, I guess we start off with the gingerbread house. Well, you've got a couple of workshops coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we do, this weekend.
For
yes,
both
we do.
Gingerbread and Wee Christmas.
So we have done this is a, 33rd year for the gingerbread?
Seriously?
And so what we started doing, well, I don't know, we started building programming around it. And so we had our gingerbread house workshop. So we're teaching people how to make gingerbread houses. And so we have two this weekend. The morning one is filled, but there's still room in the 2 o'clock, the 2 to 3:30.
Okay.
So you can call Ferry Farm and ask to speak to Laura Leary, and you can find a place in it. So we have parents and children, and it's really a good thing. And then Wee Christmas, we have a workshop with our Wee Christmas exhibit, and that has room, and that is Saturday from 2 to 4 at Kenmore. The gingerbread is at Ferry Farm, and the Wee Christmas is at Kenmore.
Well, when I first looked at that and thought, you know, the gingerbread house construction workshop, that's a good skill to have. You can use it for the Ferry Farm, the gingerbread you make there,
right,
but if you're doing one at school, at home, or your church, or whatever, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, so That's always something really a lot of fun. And then we start accepting the first week, full week in December, we start accepting the gingerbread the houses.
So they have to be in, is it what? I didn't look at the...
Is it that Saturday?
Yeah.
4 o'clock. And
right.
So we're all standing by the door anxiously waiting for them to...
And some people really do bring it at the last minute.
Oh, my God, yes. Or they'll call. Last year they called and said, we're stuck in traffic, but we're on our way. We said, okay.
What's the theme this year? Is there a theme this year?
Holiday songs.
Oh, okay.
That ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Stand on the rooftop. I don't know.
Okay, well, it always surprises me what people come up with. You look at all the various gingerbread houses, and some of them are just spectacular.
And of course, Wee Christmas is always wonderful. You never know what's going to
show up. Oh, you never know.
That is very true. You never know what's going to show up for Wee Christmas, the tiniest little things.
Yeah. So we have that.
Wee Christmas is not nearly as old as gingerbread.
No, I think it's 5 years. Is this the fifth year?
Yeah, we were trying to. Yeah,
I think this is the fifth year. So it's a fairly new event in our world, but I think it's skyrocketed in popularity. It was pretty much right off the bat, and it's been a little bit bigger every year,
mm-hmm. Or smaller as far as some of the things. Some of the
look at it. That's very true.
Yeah.
Last year it spilled over into the main gallery because we had so many entries, and we'll see if that happens this year as well. I haven't seen the final list. Well, we don't know the final list yet. We're still accepting entries through November. So we'll see, but every year something just really amazing shows up that really, there's always a favorite every year yes. that everybody just crowds around and oohs and ahs and over. So it'll be interesting to see which one it is this year.
And it's very rare that, I mean, a few, some of the houses, I guess, do come back, but a lot of everything is fairly different each year.
I can only think of two instances where we've had repeat displays. We've had some of the same people.
Mm-hmm. James Ofer.
James Ofer is one. He's a master miniaturist from Richmond. He enters every year, but he owns so many displays and dollhouses that he brings a new assortment every year. So we've had a lot of the same people enter every year, but they almost always bring a different display. So we've only had, I think in the 5 years, we've only had two repeats. So it's always new.
Well, the one to me that's still the most memorable, and so I've been there one time, I think, was the It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, with the movie, the actual
The actual movie was showing.
That was 2 years ago. 2 years
ago.
I think it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that was one of Mr. Ofer's, James Ofer's pieces. He did an old movie theater.
It was a movie theater, yes.
And he actually had a screen playing mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful Life in it. It was amazing.
You would just stand there, and then I stood there, and I think I watched half the movie.
Yeah. It had a little miniature concession stand in the lobby and had all the chairs and the curtains. It was really, really amazing. And that's the level of detail that he does with just about all of his pieces. He really, really gets down to the nitty gritty and likes to do something a little surprising and extra in them.
Especially We Christmas. I mean, both Gingerbread and We Christmas, it's always fun to be there when there are kids there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just so – I mean, I remember last year there was some grandparents brought their young mm-hmm, grandchildren mm-hmm. one morning that I was there. And, boy, those kids were so
– enraptured.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how focused – we give them the scavenger hunt mm-hmm. That we do every year that asks you to find a whole list of little things mm-hmm. hidden in all the dollhouses. And that will keep kids busy, I'm not kidding, for hours. Mm-hmm. They oftentimes families come in and buy the ticket to take both the house tour and see the holiday decorations and do We Christmas, and they never make it out of the dollhouse room because the kids are just so enthralled with it. It's if you're looking for a fun way to spend an afternoon in December, your kids will be perfectly happy there all day long.
Even for adults, it's really interesting just to see really how each individual room is just so much time and effort is spent.
It's really amazing.
And it stays open through Twelfth Night.
That's right, through January, through the beginning of January.
I didn't realize it because the gingerbread display is through the end of December, isn't
it? Right. But the dollhouse displays are open through Twelfth Night.
What's always interesting to me, Megan, about We Christmas is just because the first couple of years you had a house that you had your house.
Yes, I was one of those two repeats. The first 2 years my dollhouse was in there when we weren't quite sure how how this was gonna go.
But this was something that you and your dad had done.
Yeah, my dad and I built my dollhouse when I was a little kid, and it had been in my parents' attic ever since I left home. And then when I asked them if I could bring it down here and put it in the dollhouse show, my dad said sure, but it's not coming back to the attic.
Yeah. So you got it.
It's now in my dining room. But it's a great part of my home Christmas decorations every year. But we haven't had room for it since those first couple of years. We've had so many entries. So it had its shining moment in the spotlight there for a couple of years. It was fun.
No, I always thought that it was interesting that you personally had done this and were involved in it.
Absolutely. Dollhouses were big. When I was growing up, we went to all the dollhouse shows and the miniature displays, and my dad and I took classes together to learn how to build little things, and he put electricity in my dollhouse. It was sort of our thing. That's what we did together when I was growing up.
I didn't know that your dollhouse had that.
It did. It was that first year we couldn't figure out how to hook it up in the display room, so it wasn't on. The second year, we figured out a way to run electricity, and then Mr. Ofer found out about that, and all of his dollhouses now have electricity.
So
it's now we have quite a few dollhouses that have moving parts and electrical components in the show.
I think last year the other one was a restaurant or something.
It was one of those drive-in restaurants from the 1950s with the waitresses on roller skates and the whole thing. I can't remember who submitted that one, but that was a really detailed one as well. I mean, right down to French fries and hamburgers on the trays, and it was really amazing.
Oh, it's really a fun a fun thing, and you can easily, if you've got kids, you're going
to
be there for a while.
But you plan to be there for
just
a while.
Even as an adult, you could spend a couple hours there, just spending your time looking at. And again, it's just the detail, and who knows, maybe you pick up a hobby.
Exactly. If you go to one of the workshops this weekend, they sort of teach you how to put together miniature dioramas and displays.
And they will be on display
as well. The products coming out of the workshop will be part of the exhibit as well. So that'll be fun.
Okay. So I guess there's still spaces for the wee Christmas workshop.
The one this weekend, yes.
Yeah, you just have to.
And in the afternoon, there's one for gingerbread. It's in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for the gingerbread contest, one of the things you should do if you're getting into that is look at the instructions, because you have some pretty they're pretty detailed instructions on what you can and can't do.
Right. And so, excuse me, the gingerbread, they must be constructed by handmade gingerbread. So there are no kits. And the decorations must be edible and unwrapped and preferably handmade. And they have to be a certain size, and they cannot use electric power. Opposite of
wee Christmas, no electricity.
Yes.
And the base cannot be larger than 29 inches, so that you can get it through the door. I remember going and measuring.
Oh yeah,
it's been tight a few years. It's been tight.
Yeah, so you can get it through the door.
And it always, because I know in some of the years that my kids did it, we'd always be working on it on Saturday night and Sunday morning to get it ready to get over there. So if you can get it done before the weekend, it's always better.
Right. And if Thanksgiving is late, you know, sometimes that's where Thanksgiving falls. And so.
Although it's a great family project if you got the whole family there for Thanksgiving.
It is. You know, you're right. Yeah.
And some schools have entered, so it's a good school project as
well. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, these two things are just really fun parts of Christmas in this area. And boy, the gingerbread contest, so many people in this area, if people who grew up in this area some point did it.
Mm-hmm. And the building just smells so, it's just wonderful aroma there.
I think I should have brought it in, because I think we have a ribbon for having placed somewhere.
Well,
I could have brought it in.
Yeah.
That's right, there are prizes.
You get ribbons. Yeah. No, it's terrific stuff. Again, this is the weekend. This coming weekend, it's for the Gingerbread House Construction Workshop and the Wee Christmas Workshop. But I guess if you go to kenmore.org, you can find out all that information. Kenmore.org. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking about the George Washington Foundation and the holidays. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the George Washington Foundation this morning. Megan Budinger is here. She's in the curator's office. Dave Morak is in the archaeology office. And Alma Withers is in the education office. And they're all here, and we're all getting along more or less this morning as we talk about things. We were just talking. Boy, the things, the house obviously changes a lot of things of what you're able to do, because we still did these shows. We've done these shows for years, and you've had things going on, and the archaeology has always come up with things. But especially you, Megan, because you were really – we talked about Kenmore, and then we just sort of moved you aside.
And then you didn't ask me about Fairy Farm. I had nothing to contribute.
And then all of a sudden, one day you came in and talked about buying the furniture and doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier, we started the show talking about Fairy Farm and Christmas. And I guess that really is, for a while, just kind of trial and error.
A little bit. Last year was our first go at showing the holidays. And, of course, Kenmore is, you know, sort of mid to late 18th century. And Christmas wasn't as huge of a deal as it is now then, but we still have some very specific Christmas traditions that we can show, like dessert tables and a 12th night ball and the very simple natural greenery and that sort of thing. But of course, at Fairy Farm, we're showing very early 18th century, mm-hmm. and there was almost no overt Christmas in that time period. They basically, their celebrations surrounded large scale meals and, you know, church services and gathering together. Basically, it was a big communal event. And it's really hard to depict that in a house museum. How do you show, you know, people getting together and celebrating? So last year we decided to focus on the most unusual aspects of early 18th century Christmas. And one of those was one of the things that they did was they would try to make their houses smell good at that time of the year. And they would literally dry herbs all year long and then strew herbs all over the floors of the house to make the house smell good. So we did that last year. And it was, I think, moderately successful in that it did surprise visitors and people found that really interesting, and we had a good time sort of explaining to people what that was all about. There wasn't a Christmas tree. There wasn't, you know, big wreaths on the doors, but they put herbs on the floor. Unfortunately, it's really hard to make herbs stand up to thousands of people walking through the house every day. And so I think we're going to have to change that up a little bit this year. But we're still hoping to have the scent and the look of herbs in the house this year. So it is a little bit of trial and error. We're kind of making it up as we go, in some ways. But it's fun to have a new space to try out new things in, and a little more leeway with what we can do there than at Kenmore.
Well, I noticed, and I knew we've talked about this over the years, and I really noticed it. We're going through Fairy Farm kind of spoils you because you're able to do so many more things.
Yes.
And in going to some other museums around the country this fall, I know and especially I sort of got mad when I was at at Andrew
Blame
Jackson's home
me.
At the Hermitage.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you touch anything.
No, it's so restrictive.
Just unfair.
And I did. I remember sitting there thinking, it's not like this at Fairy Farm.
Or at Kenmore. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, Kenmore too.
Yes. Still no touching at Kenmore. But yes, it is a completely different environment, and we are shooting ourselves in the foot with it a little bit. But I think by and large, our visitors have been they've been really good about understanding the interactivity at Fairy Farm.
Yeah.
And we had been concerned that when they went from Fairy Farm over to Kenmore, there would be some reactions and not very happy visitors. But I think it almost helps them understand why we have to be so careful at Kenmore. Those are priceless pieces mm-hmm. that have somehow, by the grace of God, managed to survive 250, 300 years, lifetimes of use. And we have to respect that and help them along. And our visitors amazingly have been incredibly respectful, and we really, really appreciate that. But we really enjoy seeing them have a good time at Fairy Farm and really dive right in.
I was in spending some time. I went through the summer a program you did at Kenmore, and it's so interesting when you are at Fairy Farm and at Kenmore mm-hmm. and can contrast the two.
Yes.
You've all done a really good job of you tell those different stories,
mm-hmm,
and it's
mm-hmm.
just so different being at Fairy Farm, and then you're in the city at Kenmore, and just a different life.
It was two different lifestyles, two different time periods. They weren't just ye old colonial homes. There was a very different way of life that happened in those two houses, and so they do tell two very different stories. And we do, I think we all have a good time sort of showing our visitors the differences between the
two. You can sit on the bed. But if you love furniture, you can see the craftsmanship at Fairy Farm and the furniture that the craftsmen of today have made.
Yeah.
Those pieces.
In fact, actually, next week we have a new video going up on the blog mm-hmm. that's one of our furniture makers. I'm demonstrating how he made two of the pieces that are in the Washington mm-hmm. House. And it's really a fun program from his workshop. So So yes, you can see the craftsmanship, and then you can go over to Kenmore and see how pieces survive for for all that period of time, what good craftsmanship will do for you.
Yeah. Now, as far as programming goes, Alma, from January 10th through the 12th, that weekend in January, 12th night at Kenmore.
Yes.
That's something I've never gone to, but I have heard that it is the people that I know that have gone to it last year just came and just raved about it.
Well, you know, it's very dramatic. And it's a true story. So we were able to take the story of the Lewises and of the townspeople and to craft it into some vignettes in the house. And I think that makes it very effective as well. So, I mean, and you learn about the people that lived with the Lewises, mm-hmm. and it's not only the Lewises, but it's the enslaved workers. And it's that tension, knowing that this may be the last Christmas celebration, because the war, it's, you know, 1775, and the war, you know, it's all that uncertainty.
Way to be able to tell that story, too, and to be able to tell it because it's at night.
Mm-hmm. And the house is beautiful.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've always heard, that when it's just candle lit in the house, and I'm sure it's the same way at Ferry Farm too. When you're in there at night, but to be in that house without just the sunlight coming in is really something.
And was it last year it snowed?
Actually, to be honest, we do 12th night on three separate nights, so three nights of performances. Almost every year it snows on at least one of those nights.
And it's beautiful.
And it's just gorgeous. Now, we had to cancel a couple of years because of snow. We don't like that much snow. But it is gorgeous to be in the house and see the snow coming down.
So we have we start at 3:30 performance. So if you don't like, you know, if you don't like to drive at night, so I mean, we're doing that so people.
Yeah.
And so the performances are 3:30, 4, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30.
So they're not long. It's not a long performance.
About 40 minutes. They overlap slightly.
Okay.
Yeah, but it really is a powerful conversation.
That would be, just because you're right with that with the war and looming, and just to be able to tell that story.
Yeah. One of the stories is about horse racing in Fredericksburg. It was very, very popular. And was it Fielding that liked to bet on horse?
It was his son.
One of his son, and so during the war they stopped horse racing in Fredericksburg, and you know, and he just can't understand why I can't do that. So,
yeah.
And then John's saying, well, you know, you spend enough money on horses, you need to be doing something else. So it's that family dynamics, and it's all true.
Kenmore.org, it's for information on 12th night, and I know this sells out lot of times, so you should get tickets if you're interested.
Yes, and it's reservation only.
So take care of that ahead of time. Just gives you a different view of Kenmore. Speaking of Kenmore and different views, it's the first Wednesday of every month. Now, you all do tours. Dave, you did the first one. Which I thought was that got me hooked on it, just because you started out and we were out in the gardens, and I learned a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't know about that. But you all sort of pick a different topic, and you go through either the grounds or inside of Kenmore. First Wednesday, it's at 11:15?
But I think next year we're massaging that. So we have got a group together, and we're going to look at other stories of Kenmore and find ways to tell those stories. And might not be on our first Wednesday with experts. It may be at another time.
Oh, okay.
But there's so many stories of Kenmore. And thinking about, was it 2022? Is the 100th?
2022. It's the 100th anniversary.
It's the 100th anniversary. So that's 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
2 years to plan the big 100th anniversary blowout.
Yeah. So be able to look at those different stories of Kenmore and find ways to tell those stories.
It's a great thing. If you follow Kenmore.org, you'll find, because you did, Megan, you did a one on just the furniture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great stories.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun to be able to show people the furniture in Kenmore kind of in the way they get to see the furniture over at Ferry Farm. We actually took the time to open and close some of the drop leaf tables and show them how they worked and the hidden compartments in some of the furniture and talk a little bit about restoration and some of the fascinating stories about how these pieces came to be at Kenmore in some cases. So yeah, it was a deep dive into furniture.
It was
and I think people enjoyed it. It was a little more than they normally get on the regular tour.
The other thing is, and because you mentioned there's a blog that I've drawn a total blank.
Lives and Legacies.
Lives and Legacies. It's really good. It really takes you into all areas.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I would say that that's really where we put out all of our latest research, all of our latest work, all of our latest things that we've uncovered. So if you follow that blog, you're really on top of what's happening at Ferry Farm in Kenmore.
And it's another way to tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about all the different dimensions that we're just that we're more than just a house tour.
Right. Yeah. Kenmore.org again for all the information, and really think about when especially over the holidays, if you've got family and
great
friends here, that's a place you're going to want to take me. I mean that you talk about places you can go in this area that are unforgettable, and we've got a lot of them, but I don't know that there's anybody that can match what you've got there at Ferry Farm.
Right.
Great way to get everybody out of the house.
Yes.
Well, you know, and the beauty of Ferry Farm and Kenmore as well is because of the space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go through the garden and there's a place for a family to picnic. I mean, there's different spaces, or children can just run. So I think that's a great opportunity. And with Ferry Farm, you're not quite as much as tense about if your child touches something or or not.
As you would be at Kenmore.
Yes.
That would cause a lot of a lot of problems.
Just putting that out there once again, no touching at Kenmore.
When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to talk about 2020 and some things. Wow, 2020, to just even know that's going to be what we're saying next year. And we'll also again talk about the gingerbread and the Wee Christmas workshops and what's going to be available over the holidays at Kenmore and Ferry Farm. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Megan Budinger, Dave Maraca, Alma Withers here this morning. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the George Washington Foundation, our focus this morning, as we talk about the holidays. We'll do that in just a second in what's coming up. And there are some things this weekend to be aware of that you can still get involved with. But Alma Withers, 2020 is almost here, and you've got a folder that's got a lot of writing on it.
A lot. Well, you know, the thing is, when you do programming, you've got to think months out.
Yeah.
You know, we've already started thinking 4th of July.
Sure.
Thinking birthday. And because we have to know where we're going to go. But what we've also done is when we had energy in July and August, you know, a little energy, we thought, oh, wouldn't this be a good idea? So anyway, we are adding to our family programming.
You're adding, okay.
Yeah, monthly we're going to do family tours at Kenmore and at Ferry Farm.
Oh, okay.
We're going to add a toddler time. At Ferry Farm, we are going to add something on Thursday evenings in May, June, July, and April in the warm months.
Yeah,
and it's going to be called Evenings at Kenmore. It's going to be in Thursday evenings from 5 to 8. That's when Kenmore is magic, I think. Mm-hmm. And with the gardens,
sure, yeah.
So we'll have the house will be open. We'll have the gardens will be, of course, will be the feature, and we'll have interpreters on the ground. I don't, it, you know, we'll just. Well, the goal is to make Kenmore magic.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's a good idea because you see this at some other locations have kind of done some of those things.
Yeah,
and the crowds are big, and Kenmore is Kenmore.
Yeah, it really is. And it's not too early to start thinking about summer camps for your children.
Yeah, because those sell out a lot, and you always hear, but you get a lot of disappointed people. And yeah, this is the time to start thinking of that.
Yeah, and we'll have history camp, and that's what we do that with the Washington Heritage, and that's June 8th through the 12th. And then we'll have an archaeology mini camp, and that's July 29th and 30th. And then we're doing something new in July. It's called History Through the Arts mini camp. So we're going to focus on art. And so children will learn about history through art projects. And this is something new, and that's the 27th and 28th of July.
Wow, a lot of good stuff.
We're going to be busy.
And to look ahead, it's hard to – I mean, we've got all the holiday stuff coming up, but the weekend of Washington's birthday, you always do just some great things at Ferry Farm. Always look forward to what you do on the birthday.
Yeah,
Well, you've moved it now to that Monday is when you've been doing this.
Right. And so, I mean, it's always just a fun – and I think when – and we – it's the idea of combination of archaeology and birthday cake and performances.
That's everybody's favorite combination, archaeology and birthday cake.
Right. They go together.
You think of one and you think of the other.
I know. But if you think of two things, pleasure things, and so that would be archaeology and... Well, maybe birthday cake.
Birthday cake. It's all right. It's Ferry Farm.
I have been brainwashed.
between getting to look at all the what you can see there with the archaeology, you don't see that at a lot of places, and that really is really an interesting component, Dave, of what's offered at Ferry Farm.
Without a doubt, and we let people sort of go in behind the scenes and do some great stuff, and so it's a great way to sort of show off 20 years of hard work.
Again, Gingerbread House Construction Workshop and We Christmas Workshops are this weekend. The gingerbread contest, have everything in. It's always the day of the parade. Have it in by that Saturday.
Yes, it is.
And then you've got the gingerbread exhibit and We Christmas at Kenmore. And Kenmore.org for all kinds of information. And we'll have features out as things are going on, too. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Great stuff to get together and talk about all the things. And we will... continue to do more and more of this in the year ahead. Megan Buttinger, Dave Maraca, Elma Withers, all with Ferry Farm and Kenmore, kenmore.org for more information. And thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.